We will discuss the new Obama-Biden ticket this hour following Barack Obama's announcement on Saturday that his running mate will be Senator Joe Biden of Delaware. Plus, we will hear what Obama had to say yesterday in Eau Claire as Wisconsin continues to garner attention from both major party candidates. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, August the 25th. And we are happy to have with us a longtime guest on Wisconsin Public Radio, who hasn't been on with me for a long time, a retired political science professor from the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Mort Cyprus. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I understand that O'Biden's visit to Eau Claire yesterday was by invite only, and it wasn't one of those fill the town hall squares events. It was at the Rod and Gun Club?
Yes, the name doesn't quite indicate what it is. It was a small event, about 300 people, at least small for Barack Obama. And the particular location was donated by the Rod and Gun Club back in about 1932. It was donated to the city of Eau Claire, and the city took the property and made a park out of it. And so the Rod and Gun Club was the donor of the property, the city named it after them. So it's not as unusual a name as one might think.
And what did he have to say there?
Well, a lot of the things he said, he has said at many stops. One of the more notable kinds of things was more direct criticisms of John McCain during the talk. He spoke for about a half hour, which incidentally left him with a lot of time to circulate and speak to many of the people who were there, something that does not usually happen after his talks. He spoke critically of John McCain, especially on the economy, but also on foreign policy. And there's no doubt that there was more of a tone of confronting McCain with the attacks McCain has been making on Obama.
Yeah. He also, Mary Jo Wagner in Eau Claire, our reporter in Eau Claire, covered the event. And apparently Obama tried to assure everyone there that he supported the Second Amendment. And here's a clip of that.
They're going to try to say, I saw some signs coming in, he's going to take away your guns. Even though I have repeatedly said I support strongly the Second Amendment and the legal right to bear arms.
So Obama thinks that's an issue important to the group there.
Yes, and it's not because of the location of the meeting, mm-hmm. but hunting, for example, is very, very popular in this part of the state. And many of those who grow concerned if they think somebody is going to impose some very, very sharp restrictions on gun ownership fear that their hunting guns would be affected. And he's been accused by some of supporting elimination of gun ownership. There was even a group from it seems to be from the NRA outside the park. A small group had accumulated with signs saying that Obama's going to take your guns. There are some people with strong feelings about it in the area. Obama was attempting to persuade them that he's not going to be taking their guns away, that people using guns for hunting where there are certain protection issues, those people would continue to be able to own their guns. And generally, he was supporting, he didn't mention it yesterday, but he has supported the recent Supreme Court decision on the right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm. And he also spoke about health care. He was there with Governor Doyle and Senator Russ Feingold.
My attitude is you should be able to buy the same health insurance that Russ Feingold and I get as members of Congress. And if you can't afford it, we'll subsidize you. And we're going to emphasize prevention so that people aren't going to the emergency room, and people have better quality, and we're not going to wait 20 years from now to do it or 10 years from now to do it. We're going to do it by the end of my first term as President of the United States in May. It's time to get this done.
Ooh, that's a lofty goal. That's quite a promise, Professor Cyprus.
Yes, it is, and I think I have to say that it's not the first time he's made it. That has been his standard position on health care for many, many months now. He may not have talked about it as much as he was often more responding to his opposition during the course of the campaign. But he was bringing out many of the positions that he has been consistent about throughout the campaign and before.
Mm-hmm. Well, Obama's touring battleground states in the Midwest before heading to Denver to accept his party nomination on Thursday. So this stop in Eau Claire yesterday shows Wisconsin is still very much up for grabs.
There's no question of that. The polling that has been done here has Obama ahead by a narrow margin. The last one that I saw that came out was about a 4-point lead. And that really takes you within the limits of standard error in that poll. So it's one could say is statistically a dead heat. So we've seen in Wisconsin what we've seen across the country, a narrowing of the race to make it a very tight one.
Yeah, a Gallup poll, a national poll out yesterday, I believe, or Obama and McCain, statistically even, 46-46. Are Obama supporters, is Obama himself worried that these national polls have tightened up and Obama's lead is gone?
Well, he doesn't appear to be, although if I were him, I would be worried. If the race, both nationally and within states, is so close that it's within the margin of error, and it stays that way, there has to be concern about what's called the Bradley effect, named after the former mayor of Los Angeles, who also was African-American. We have found in several elections that an African-American candidate appears to have a higher vote in the polls than the candidate actually gets on election day. There's a couple of percentage, 3 percentage points of voters who are not truthful about who they would vote for. But when they go into the polls and they're in the privacy of the voting booth, their opposition to a minority candidate does get expressed then. So the poll result, the election results are a bit different than the polls would have indicated. I don't have a reason to think that that could not happen in Wisconsin. We know there are people who simply are opposed to minority candidates. They're not a large part of the population, but they could be enough to change the results of an election if it's very close.
Yeah. But then there was also concern that maybe John McCain's negative ads were hitting home, saying Barack Obama wasn't ready to be president. And then we had this conflict between Russia and Georgia, and thoughts about whether Obama was ready to be commander-in-chief. So he picks Joe Biden as his VP. Do we know yet whether he's getting any sort of bounce, Obama's getting any sort of bounce from his pick of Joe Biden?
As of last night, no. As of last night, as I looked at the various polls, they were all finished before the announcement of Joe Biden. By this morning, and it's too early to know at this moment, by sometime later this morning, there might be a poll or two that includes a time period after the Biden announcement, which would tell us more. One of those polls is the Rasmussen poll. Their results come in at 8:30 Central Time in the morning, and that the polling, which is it's a tracking poll, so they're interviewing every day, but they complete their actual questioning the night before, and then report it out by 8:30 Central Time every day. So that's going to be the first one that I'll get a chance to see. Unfortunately, we're a little over a couple of hours away from that.
That's all right. We will check our weather forecast, and then we will talk more with Mort Cypress, retired political scientist from the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, about the selection of Joe Biden as Barack Obama's running mate. We'll hear some sound clips from their event in Springfield on Saturday, and we'll also hear some of John McCain's ads that he has put out. Didn't waste any time putting out some ads highlighting Joe Biden during the primary, saying Barack Obama wasn't ready to be president. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions and reactions. What do you think of Barack Obama picking Joe Biden of Delaware to be his running mate? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Monday, August the 25th. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock right now. Coming up later this morning, special coverage of the Democratic National Convention, an on-point special at 9 o'clock live from Denver. You can join host Tom Ashbrook for this special after 9 o'clock for the latest news and analysis from the Democratic National Convention. Kathleen Dunn will follow up and recap some of the news after 10 o'clock this morning. We'll be carrying this special coverage from the Democratic National Convention all week long in the 9 o'clock hour, live from Denver, same next week when the Republicans are meeting in Minnesota. We're talking about Barack Obama's pick of Joe Biden as his vice presidential running mate. Our guest is Mort Cypress, retired political scientist from the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. We welcome your questions and your comments regarding the pick of Joe Biden. Also talking some about Obama's campaign appearance in Eau Claire yesterday as well. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Joe Biden, when introduced to the crowd in Springfield, Illinois on Saturday, didn't waste any time in saying John McCain was out of touch with the needs of working class people and middle class families.
Ladies and gentlemen, your kitchen table's like mine. You sit there at night after you put the kids to bed, and you talk. And you talk about what you need. You talk about how much you're worried about being able to pay the bills. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not a worry John McCain has to worry about. It's a pretty hard experience. He'll have to figure out which of the seven kitchen tables to sit at.
Yeah, he's getting some mileage out of that, forgetting how many homes he owns, a comment of John McCain's, Professor Cypress.
Yes, and we can expect that he'll be doing that quite a bit during the campaign. Vice presidential candidates traditionally play the role of, I guess you might call it a tack dog, of making the stronger, harsher statements about the opposition than the candidate president actually does. So I think we can expect to see a lot more of that. Although I have to add that Obama made reference to the same thing yesterday in Eau Claire. He brought up the fact that McCain could not remember how many houses he had, and he tied that to a question that was done at the Saddlebrook forum that was held a week earlier, where both candidates were asked how do they define rich, and McCain sort of hit around it for a moment and then said, I would say $5 million.
Right.
Obama said, if that's what it takes to be rich, does that mean that someone who earns $4 million is not rich, is struggling to make a living? And he went on from there. But he had tied together the not remembering the number of houses he owned, that he and his wife owned, with that statement about an attempt to define rich, trying to make the case that McCain is not really aware of the reality for many Americans. That, too, got a pretty big applause line yesterday.
Is it your sense that this issue, that statement from John McCain, is going to have legs? Is this going to have a lasting impact?
I would suspect so for a while, until they get another statement that they might want to use. I think it's pretty common in campaigns to hear the same lines over and over again for a period of time. As they go to different audiences, you hear that repetition. You may not hear the repetition in the national media, the networks, the cables, once they get through a couple of cycles, may not repeat those statements, but you do hear them again and again. And even some of the same things that Obama talked about yesterday in Eau Claire, he also talked about in Eau Claire when he was here last February. Mm-hmm. So it's not unusual for the candidates to say things repetitively. When you have a very long campaign, there are just so many different speeches that you can give, and I don't know of any candidate who has an arsenal of 100 different speeches. So there's a lot of repetition. Yeah. And the same thing is going to apply in the last 70-plus days before the election to Joe Biden, and it will also apply to whoever the vice presidential candidate is that McCain chooses.
We'll take some calls. James in Winneconne joins us first. Good morning.
Good morning. I have some concerns, and first of all, I'm a very liberal person, but as far as Mr. Obama is concerned, and I'll start this with what you just talked about. You know, Mr. McCain's wife is the one with the money in the family. That is just a silly thing about houses. I'm more concerned about Mr. Obama's house and how he got his house, and the man who made that possible. And especially coming from Chicago, a town known for crooked politics.
Yeah, hold on, James. We'll get to your second point after. I don't want to forget this point. Barack Obama has a housing problem of his own, Professor Cyprus.
Well, some say that he does. In purchasing a house in Chicago on the South Side, he apparently had some assistance from Roscoe is his name, who turned out to be a less than savory person, and has had some serious problems with the law.
He somehow pulled some strings so Obama could buy the property next to his house or something along those lines.
Well, he got somebody else to buy the property next to the house so that Obama wouldn't have to buy it all. Mm-hmm. Obama said he couldn't afford to buy both the property and the house. So that seemed to be the arrangement there. There are no indications that Obama did anything illegal or that he was influenced by this in any way in terms of the legislation he supported or opposed while he was in the state legislature in Illinois.
Yeah.
The issue had pretty much disappeared over the last few months and then has come out again now as the Republican attack machine went to work on him.
Yeah, the response to the McCain's comments. All right, but James, you said you called in about a different reason?
Yeah, the different reasons is, you know, Mr. Obama is talking about saving the middle class, yet he picks a running mate from a state that's largely been controlled by one family for almost its entire existence. And also, that state is the headquarters for most credit card companies, because states like Wisconsin, it would be illegal for them to charge the kind of interest rates they do on our credit cards. And this is where Mr. Biden is coming from, and I'll take my answer off air.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know. I don't know about Delaware's business regulations. Do you, Professor Cyprus?
Well, they have attracted a lot of corporate ownership there. Their laws governing incorporation are less stringent than they are in many other states, and the tax implications are favorable to corporations. In Delaware, and so you get a very large number of corporations incorporating in that state, even though it's a very small state and it's not where they do most of their business.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm not sure you can connect that to Senator Biden. He has been one of the more critical people of corporate America in the United States Senate, and his voting record appears to back that up, so that I guess I'm pretty cautious about a guilt by association, that because
right.
he's from the same place that some of these activities go on, that somehow he's guilty.
Now, what does Biden bring to the ticket?
I think Obama selected Biden not because he would give him any large number of votes in the election, but rather he was impressed by him and comfortable with him as a kind of partner if Obama should win the election. He is someone who he would want to be able to rely on for candid advice. And knowing that Biden will speak at the drop of a hat, you might say, you could expect that he will give his advice to the president if, in fact, they win the election.
Yeah, the charge that he lifted or plagiarized a speech some 20 years ago, is that forgiven and forgotten?
While he was not so much in the limelight, it was. Whether it'll come back as a serious issue remains to be seen. Biden had lifted language from a speech by Neil Kinnock, who had been the head of the Labour Party in Great Britain for a period of time, and he didn't attribute the quotes to Kinnock, but delivered them as if they were his own. That of course was something that came out in 1988 when Biden was running for president,
yeah.
And it was fairly instrumental in forcing him out of the race. It was an embarrassing moment for him, those in education were pretty critical of him. Most of us in education consider plagiarism a serious act. There were repercussions for it.
Let me hold you there, Professor Cyprus, because we have news from National Public Radio coming up, and then we'll continue talking about the new Obama-Biden ticket, and we will take more calls with your reaction to Obama's selection of Joe Biden as his running mate. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Monday, August the 25th. It's now 6:34. We're talking with our guest, Mort Cyprus, retired political scientist from UW-Eau Claire, about Barack Obama's visit to Eau Claire yesterday and what he had to say. And we're talking about the new Obama-Biden ticket, following Barack Obama's announcement on Saturday that his running mate will be Senator Joe Biden of Delaware. We welcome your questions and your reactions to this choice. Will this satisfy Hillary Clinton supporters, the pick of Joe Biden as VP running mate? Will this assure folks that Barack Obama has foreign policy credentials on the ticket? What do you think? Do you think this was a great pick a good pick or a disappointing one. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Back to the phone, Sandy in Green Bay is next. Hi, Sandy, you're on the air.
Thank you. Hi, good morning. Like the last caller, I consider myself liberal. In fact, Bill Clinton was too conservative for my taste. But I have to say I cannot vote for Barack Obama. Joe Biden would have been a good choice, and I could have voted for a Biden-Obama ticket, but I cannot vote for an Obama-Biden ticket.
Yeah, why not?
Biden has experience in foreign affairs, as seen by the fact that, when that big thing happened over in Georgia, they called him in, and he toured Georgia. He's recognized as having foreign experience credentials, which would counter John McCain. He would have been a very good choice to run against John McCain. Barack Obama has absolutely no experience, and I hate to think. I mean, if he couldn't handle Rick Warren asking him questions, he was so tentative and wouldn't answer any of the questions fully. I just fail to see what he would do as president. As a vice president doesn't do what a president does.
Yeah.
And so Joe Biden's foreign experience, as far as I'm concerned, he could have picked somebody without it because mm-hmm. it does absolutely no good.
Sandy, if you were a supporter of Bill Clinton's, or at least you didn't think he was liberal enough, did you think that Bill Clinton had a foreign affairs experience as governor of Arkansas?
Actually, I thought he had some. He certainly had experience governing. And I guess that didn't bother me as much as the thought of Obama, who has served for, 6 years maybe total in looking at legislative affairs, but nothing on the executive order.
Yeah. Were you, Sandy, a Hillary Clinton supporter?
Actually, I was a Dennis Kucinich supporter, and then I switched to Hillary when Dennis Kucinich withdrew.
Yeah. And now what are you going to do?
That's a good question. I don't have anybody to vote for because I certainly can't vote for John McCain.
Yeah. Well, what are Hillary Clinton supporters like Sandy going to do, Professor Cypress?
Well, they're going to be spread out a little bit. Some of them will, over the course of the rest of the campaign, come back to the Democratic Party and vote for Obama. Some of them may vote for Ralph Nader or may just sit it out and not vote for president. And some of them we know from the national polls are, in fact, saying they will vote for McCain. So there's something of a split as to where the indicators are that as to where the Clinton supporters would go. I think that we'll find an intensive effort by the Obama campaign to bring some of those voters back into Democratic voting, and some of them will. I would add that the polls that are going on now reflect the fact that some of the people who supported Hillary Clinton are not currently supporting Obama, and the election is very close, with Obama perhaps a fraction ahead. What that tells me, as these people make up their minds and some of them actually come and vote for or indicate they will vote for Obama, his lead may go up at that point. It may cease being 1 or 2 points and go back to the 4 or 5 points, 6 points that it was earlier in the summer.
Yeah. You know, there has been some talk about Hillary Clinton's supporters, some of them anyway, a bit dissed by the selection of Joe Biden, but more so the reports that we're hearing that Hillary Clinton was never vetted for vice president, never, ever seriously considered. Is that going to be a problem?
Well, from what I understand and what I have heard in some of the media is that early on when Hillary had dropped out and Barack Obama was clearly the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party, she basically said to him that if she's not going to be a strong possibility
for vice president, then let's not bother going through the vetting process just for show. And it appeared that fairly early on that she was not likely to be his selection for vice president, and in light of that said, let's not go through a vetting process. Let's not, that's a lot of trouble to bother with. And if that report is true, then in fact there was a mutual agreement to not go through a vetting process.
Yeah. Well, maybe. And here is John McCain's, one of two new ads that John McCain put out right after the selection of Joe Biden as Barack Obama's running mate. This one, apparently trying to appeal to Hillary Clinton's supporters.
She won millions of votes, but isn't on his ticket. Why? For speaking the truth on his plans.
You never hear the specifics.
On the Resco scandal.
We still don't have a lot of answers about Senator Obama.
On his attacks.
Senator Obama's campaign has become increasingly negative.
The truth hurt, and Obama didn't like it.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Well, we expected to hear those remarks come back, didn't we, Professor Cypress?
Well, even if Hillary Clinton had not made those remarks, that kind of accusation would have come back in any way. The McCain campaign, especially given the people he brought on board to run his campaign in the last month, would be more likely to bring in attack types of information. That's an important part of his campaign strategy now.
Randy in Laval sends this email. Biden is the one person that gets the people who I have called the Dutch Democrats, the people who are mistakenly called Reagan Democrats. I appreciate McCain, and although I also like Obama, I love Biden. The thing Politico and others may not get is that Biden brings all of us firmly back into the fold. McCain, on the other hand, who will be respected by us, has no one to help him with those he needs. Anyone he picks only sends us further away. This move is perfect. A reaction, Professor Cypress?
Well, you've heard the voice of a true believer. Biden attracted some people during this year's campaign as he was moving with his candidacy, and people who pay close attention to what goes on in the Senate might like Biden quite a bit. He's, of course, the chairman of what is probably the most prestigious committee in the United States Senate, the Foreign Relations Committee. And so he is one of the first that anyone will go to ask opinions about foreign policy developments, because he's chair of that committee. People who are tuned into that and people who were attracted to him by his own presidential campaigns are likely to see him as a great asset.
Yeah. Is this choice going to in any way influence John McCain's choice, which we will hear next Friday?
I suspect not. I suspect McCain will do with what Obama did, and that is to try to choose someone with whom he is comfortable, someone whom he feels he can work with after the election. Most people know that the vice presidential candidate does not bring a lot of votes to a ticket. Historically, if the vice presidential candidate can carry his own state, that is often all that's expected electorally. And of course, that was very crucial when Lyndon Johnson was chosen by John Kennedy to be his running mate, because Johnson probably was instrumental in Kennedy's carrying Texas, and it was a very close election, and carrying Texas was the winning factor in that election. So if the vice presidential candidate brings that kind of strength, then you've picked up some votes. But you get outside the vice presidential candidate's home state, and they don't have a whole lot of impact. People vote for the top of the ticket.
We will take more of your calls at 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890 or email us at talk@wpr.org about your reaction to the selection of Senator Joe Biden of Delaware to be Senator Barack Obama's vice presidential running mate. The announcement made on Saturday. And we're talking about it this hour, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Mort Cyprys, retired political scientist from UW-Eau Claire. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 13 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday, August the 25th. Coming up, it's our state capitol report after 7 o'clock. Outgoing UW-Madison Chancellor John Wiley ruffled some feathers when he said that the Wisconsin business community is stuck in a swamp, among other things. UW-Chancellor Wiley will join me after 7 o'clock on the State Capitol Report, and then after 7:30, we will hear from a guest from WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, who says Wiley has it wrong. And we'll welcome your comments on that coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with Mort Cyprys. He's a retired political scientist from the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. He's talking with us about the selection of Joe Biden as Barack Obama's running mate, and also talking some this hour about what Obama had to say in Eau Claire yesterday as Wisconsin continues to garner attention from both major party candidates. Back to the phones, Ray in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Let me state the obvious. I'm surprised none of you have mentioned it. Is Joe Biden the only senator or congressman whose son has actually served in Iraq while the Bush twins are running around shopping and getting drunk?
Oh, so you think that makes him a good choice, Ray?
Of course, because when they say it's time to end this war, he's the only person who has had blood wrapped up in this phony war.
Oh, what about that, Professor Cyprys?
Well, I think that McCain had a son serving in Iraq too. I hope I'm not wrong on the name, but I know one other senator has, and I think it was McCain himself.
Well, there's also Jim Webb too, but he's brand new.
Yes, Jim Webb himself had been in the armed forces earlier, prior to the Iraq events. Yes, but that's not what the caller was asking about, whether anyone else had a child in Iraq. And,
yeah.
And yes, there was at least one other.
Right, and a fact check from producer extraordinaire Cynthia Schuster, McCain's son did serve in Iraq. Also, it says on October 3rd, Biden's son, Joseph Robinette Beau Biden III, will be deployed to Iraq. I don't want him going, Biden told an Iowa State Fair crowd a year ago when, as a presidential candidate himself, he learned that his son's unit would be deployed at some point in 2008. But I don't want my grandsons or granddaughters going back in 15 years. So how we leave makes a big difference. So that's an issue that that will be still prominent in people's minds when they vote?
I don't think it'll be prominent in terms of whether you had a child who fought in Vietnam and as a U.S. senator. Will the war be an issue? Yes. Unless something happens that it really is winding down before November.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I know you have morning voice. Let me also, before we run out of time, and we do have a number of other callers, let's play the very first ad that John McCain put out right after Joe Biden was selected as the VP running mate.
What does Barack Obama's running mate say about Barack Obama?
You were asked, is he ready? You said, I think he can be ready, but right now I don't believe he is. The presidency is not something that lends itself to on-the-job training.
I think that I stand by the statement.
And what does he say about John McCain?
I would be honored to run with or against John McCain because I think the country would be better off.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
So, is that going to hurt Professor Cyprys?
The whole type of ad
the attacker type of thing is what has hurt so far. And this is just a continuation of that, something that we saw developing over the last month. And it's a product of a change in the personnel running McCain's campaign. He brought in the people who were tutored by Karl Rove and who had been instrumental in Bush's 2004 campaign, which included the Swift Boat accusations in that year. So it's not surprising to see this kind of thing, and we know it's had some effect of narrowing the race. It especially occurred at a time when Obama was not really responding. Part of that time he was on vacation himself. And so we know that attack ads work. The question is always, what will the candidate do to counter those attack ads? And you can see a different approach between, say, John Kerry and Bill Clinton. When Kerry was attacked, he basically acted, I can't believe anybody's going to accept this, and didn't really fire back. And it cost Kerry severely in that election. It may have cost him the victory. When in the Clinton campaign, they countered with what you can call comparative ads. Clinton's people were clever. They didn't just attack back, but they say took about half an ad attacking back at his opponent, and then the other half talking about what he would do as president. That comparison was not seen as negative by most voters, and was accepted by them. And that kind of approach was very important for Clinton's being able to win in 92 and win re-election in 1996.
Back to the phones, and our next caller is Larry in Wausau. Hi, Larry, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Before I ask my question, the caller called in who was quite excited that Biden has a son who will be deployed to Iraq. I think actually that's a very interesting thing, in that the war will be a continuing issue, certainly not the top issue. But Biden, I think, if you study his history, will be likely to pull Obama in the direction of reality rather than idealism as far as Iraq. I mean, the war is a fact of life, a big complicated one. And I think he'll tend to just to do that, to pull Obama to deal with the war more positively rather than simply as something that has to be ended. My question is, what if McCain should nominate Carly Fiorina, who was the top person at the giant company Hewlett-Packard, or Meg Whitman, who is, I believe, a billionaire after her enormous achievement with eBay, where I'm sorry to say quite a bit of our family money has disappeared. Anyway, two remarkable women. How would that, if he did make either of those choices, affect the all the complicated issues with Hillary supporters and other things?
Thanks for the question, Professor Cypress.
Well, there are undoubtedly some Hillary supporters who were looking to elect a woman to the White House. And that's not going to be possible this year. But if McCain chose either of those women, they are women with strong reputations, it probably would assist the McCain campaign, at least initially, among that group of Clinton supporters who has their prime goal getting a woman into high office. But I think I could say again that the vice presidential candidate does not bring that much to the ticket. If Whitman were the former governor of New Jersey were and former head of EPA. If she were chosen, that might help McCain play strong in New Jersey. At this point, it's, New Jersey is considered a safe Obama state. She might put it in play. Fiorina was, of course, prominent in the business community, and what she would bring to the ticket in terms of any state support is rather unclear. She does not have a lot of political experience, although she's certainly a very impressive woman and a very dynamic woman.
Yeah.
Beyond those Clinton supporters who supported Clinton because she was a woman, I'm not sure how much she could bring to the ticket.
Yeah. While the number two spot may not result in a vote for or against the candidate at the top of the ticket, we have heard a lot of the Republican base would be very upset if John McCain picked Tom Ridge or Joe Lieberman, two pro-choice candidates, thus leaving everybody to speculate that Mitt Romney might be in the front running right now.
Well, we can speculate all we want, I guess. Romney is not something McCain has been comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Romney has been saying some very good things about McCain and, since Romney dropped out of the race, if he did choose Romney, then you would have thrown at McCain the same things they're throwing at Obama for choosing Biden. Things that a candidate said that was negative during the course of the campaign can come back to haunt you. On the other hand, I don't want to keep repeating it. I'm not sure the vice presidential candidate would bring that much to it.
When in our final minute, then, Professor Cypress, I guess maybe you can give us a quick preview. What are you expecting from the Democratic National Committee, the convention this week? Anything stand out to you?
Well, it's going to be what conventions have come to be, choreographed events where definite themes are presented each night, where the party is trying to persuade the viewers on television, especially that we're the ones you should be voting for. So you're going to see a series of speeches and some videos as well that are custom made for the occasion.
Yeah.
Emphasizing themes that the candidate ultimately wants emphasized to that campaign.
We'll leave it there. We're out of time. Professor Cypress, thanks very much for being with us.
I've been pleased to do it.
Mort Cypress, a retired political scientist from UW-Eau Claire. We'll be providing guests with analysis and reaction to the Democratic National Committee Convention all week long, in the 7 o'clock hour and an occasional 8 o'clock here and there. Joe Winicky, the Wisconsin chair of the Democratic Party, joins us tomorrow after 8 o'clock. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster and Michelle Kofel for producing this hour. This is the Ideas Network.